This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonzel, and when enough people make false promises, words stop meaning anything. Then there are no more answers, only better and better lies. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Autel, Pico Technology. Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? Picoscope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit PicoAuto.com. That's PicoAuto.com. Autel delivers award-winning automotive diagnostic tools trusted by technicians across North America. Backed by Autel North America experts in sales, training, and technical support. From drivability diagnostics and TPMS service to ADAS and advanced safety systems, Autel helps technicians follow OEM procedures and repair with confidence. Learn more at autel.com. So yeah, I should do an episode relating everything to Game of Thrones. The problem is I'd have to do 8 episodes and I'll mess up the ending. This does sound like a challenge, though. Maybe I will. Why not? All right. I had a different idea, but you get to see me shift a little bit on the fly. Yeah, we can do it. I think we can do it. I don't know if you've ever seen the show. I don't know if I'd recommend it. Like, when it's good, it's really good. And the end, I'm not sure if I like the end or not. Like, part of me buys it. I think it goes against what you're hoping for, but I think it might head a little too close to home. And that's why there is disappointment, because sometimes we want to see a better version. With Game of Thrones, there are tons and tons of storylines that interweave together. I mean, I guess I'd love to talk about all of that and probably should rewatch some of it a little bit just to make sure I remember most of them, but that's not where I want to go. That's not what I would do. If we're really going to do this, we have to pick a storyline. And I think the most obvious one to relate to at least a scenario in our world and auto repair world has to be that of Daenerys Targaryen or Khaleesi or Daenerys Stormborn. We are introduced to her rather early, and I guess not to just take people on some journey of her storyline, but I guess what I would relate it to is the employee, but really the mechanical or technical specialist who has now purchased or taken over or started their own repair shop. I would compare them, not all, of course, but many of them, I would compare to Daenerys Targaryen. And do I mean they burn everything to the ground? No, I don't. And if that gives away the ending and you haven't seen Game of Thrones yet, I apologize. I'm sorry, but it's been around a while. We don't even get to really see all of Daenerys's journey, but the reality is she is born a Targaryen, and in that universe, they were the former king of the Seven Kingdoms of Westeros in the Game of Thrones world, which I'm not overly concerned with getting so spot on right or spending a lot of time delving with, but it's the point is that Daenerys has a brother who thinks he is the legal and deserving to be on what they call the Iron Throne and to rule the Seven Kingdoms. And he's a real jerk. She goes through a lot. Like, she is enslaved. She is treated horrifically. She is married off for strategy and to gain resources to make a play for the throne, but not for her, for her brother. Her brother is dealt with, and that leaves her, and her and her husband was a Dothraki. Again, doesn't really matter. I guess the point is that she goes through a lot to gain resources, and not necessarily strategically at first, but then it becomes very strategic because she is now going to make a claim for the throne and take it by force if need be. And through the course of that, she does gain an army. She does gain very wise, trusted advisors. She does gain friends. She does gain power, if you will, in the form of three dragons, which in the Game of Thrones world, the Westeros world, that is, they're extremely powerful. And that journey takes her through trials and tribulations and tests. And the reality is finally, when she's not necessarily ruling, but really has the position of becoming a ruler and relatively non-violently, she kind of loses her stuff and becomes that which we've felt for the majority of 8 seasons, but for sure 7, she was staunchly against. It was the opposite. She wanted all the opposite. And then she really becomes that which she preceded to hate, despise. The rest isn't all that important. We see that happen time and time again. And I think it's, if we use the example of a technical specialist or a mechanical specialist who now finds themselves owning a shop, whether it's they started doing side work in their garage and got to be where they were making more money at home than they were at work, and they felt they had enough work or legitimately had enough work to start, you know, looking to lease a building, buy a building, build a building, whatever it is, and bring in employees and run a shop, full-blown repair shop, that a lot of the things that you remember, or they would even remember thinking and saying when they were working for somebody, you know, if I ran the show, if I was in charge, if I had control, I would do this. I would pay this way. I would pay that way. I would make sure that these people are very well taken care of. We would have nothing but the latest and greatest and appropriate equipment. Many times they start out that way. However the shop is started, however that plays out, they're kind of the, you know, been through the ringer employee, and specifically mechanical or technical specialist. So they have ideas of how they want things to go, and they start doing it exactly the way they said they would. Then something happens. And not just any one thing. It's a series of things, right? It's the struggle to pay the bills. It's figuring out like, oh, I thought my former employer was gouging customers, but it turns out I need that money. And oh, maybe it isn't gouging. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm really taking care of my people. I'm doing this. I'm paying this much. I pay more than everybody else. I don't have them on any sort of production bonuses, and I don't have any sort of incentive programs. If they're here, I pay them straight up. And wow, how come I can't get my production numbers up? And I start toying with the idea of some sort of incentives. And maybe a few times they lose their stuff on people and they fire people for being lazy or not producing and bringing in other people and dealing with bad attitudes and dealing with people with having bad days and customers, you know, not being appreciative, and their stress levels go through the roof. And now their home life maybe isn't as good as it used to be. And all this weight and all the things that they used to think were so wrong, all the things that they just shook their head and couldn't believe that that greedy shop owner they worked for, that greedy manager, starts to make sense. I don't want to sound like I'm justifying what some of the employers or managers or shop owners were doing. I think we have to be able to explain things without excusing them, that many times they're just trying to pay the bills, grow the business. And I don't mean grow the business as such that, again, they're rolling in it, but to be able to afford things, to be able to afford to keep updating the scan tools, to keep updating equipment, to pay for subscriptions, to keep the service information and the pay, you know, wages and the hidden costs that they weren't all that aware of that now are, they're very aware of. Again, it doesn't always justify what they are doing. It explains it though. And you can just see over time, the slow, almost a little bit like the last episode where it's very slowly and then all at once. It's not unlike that in this scenario where you can see is the slow opinion changes, I guess, the slow acceptance, maybe. Maybe that's a good word. The slow acceptance of what the former employer was doing, and maybe going to them asking advice or finding other shop owners or managers and asking advice. And a lot of it's the same. You have to tie production people to production bonuses, and you got to weight it heavily towards that. And is that fundamentally bad? Absolutely not. But we have to have the systems in place to minimize the external forces at play that are outside the control of that production employee. Just remove as much of that punishment as possible. Because once we have these production incentives in place, and there's many things within the system that can take money out of their hands because they can't really control it and it slows production. Well, now you have what's perceived to be basically an unequal game. Again, not zero sum, but it's not fair. And somebody is benefiting. Honestly, if production drops, it's not like the shop's making out like a bandit on that. They don't make more money. They lose less. That has to be considered. And I think what happens is you feel like you see the light and this is what I have to do. And you go ahead and do it and you do see a benefit, right? I think it's fairly well documented, fairly well demonstrated. And I'm not saying these studies are, you know, by no means ironclad, but when you see shops going for it, and I think not just repair shops, any business going from a straight hourly, straight salary to some sort of incentive tied to some desired outcome or some desired KPI, honestly, in technical specialist world, mechanical specialist world, a lot of times that is production hours, build hours. Maybe some people get some parts spliffs, I don't know. But a lot of times it's production, right? That you see an increase in production. I think there is a very popular and referenced study by Safe Light Autoglass about how they incentivize speed. Wherever they were doing this, the control for quality was that if there was an issue, the same glass technician that installed that glass had to redo it for free. A lot of states, that is not legal whatsoever. I think in this, where they did this, it was. I'm not saying that's right, wrong, or the other thing, but it at least incentivized production, speed, and quality. Is your shop ready for the electric vehicle revolution? Don't get left behind. The Picoscope EV Kit is your all-in-one solution. Diagnose any electric or hybrid vehicle, from high-voltage batteries to complex communication systems. With guided tests and pinpoint accuracy, you'll tackle more jobs and boost your bottom line. This isn't just a tool. It's your future. Be the expert in EV repair. Visit PicoAuto.com to future-proof your shop today. That's PicoAuto.com. This episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z is brought to you by Autel. Autel is a global developer and manufacturer of award-winning professional automotive diagnostic tools and service equipment, trusted by technicians, educators, and shop owners across North America. With diagnostics at their core, Autel's real-world solutions support repair workflows ranging from full-system vehicle diagnostics to servicing the most advanced automotive technologies. What sets Autel North America apart is the team behind the tools. Dedicated experts across sales, training, and technical support, each bringing deep, hands-on experience supporting professional technicians. When questions arise, you're working with people who understand the vehicles, the procedures, and the real-world demands of modern repair. Whether diagnosing complex drivability concerns, servicing TPMS systems, validating repairs, or working with ADAS and advanced safety technologies, Autel tools are engineered to support accurate, efficient repairs in strict accordance with OEM procedures and standards. To learn more about Autel and their diagnostic solutions, visit autel.com. AUTEL.com. There's a huge jump in production. It's hard to go against that. Like most of these things I talk about, it just seems to come down to everybody being honest with each other and honest with themselves. And if everybody's honest with each other and honest with themselves, yeah, I think you could have a straight hourly repair shop where production is good. Absolutely. Could you have a shop that's pure flat rate and everybody's happy? Absolutely. Are either one of those extremes easy? I don't think so. I don't know that for the most part, when you're dealing with people, be it employees, employers, managers, managees, clients, it's not always easy. It shouldn't always be super hard, but it isn't always easy. I think what happens a lot of times is the pay plans are developed in a way to they themselves manage people. And once you do that, you've really set yourself up to fail. That's what you see happening is, right? It kind of goes through the hand-me-down. If I worked for somebody, they had a production type plan. I hated it. I could never hit these numbers. It was so unfair. Okay, now I'm going to start my own shop. I'm just going to pay people when they're here because that is much more ethical. And if I had that kind of stability, I could have worked so much better, you know, and quality would have been better because I saw all these shortcuts being done. And then they open their shop and however many years later, they're now doing the same thing. And I do think you can look at, not all by any means, but you can look at a lot of shop owners that were former technicians. And on the level, they might tell you, and maybe not see it that way anymore. But if you could strip it back and even take a lot of context out of it, they have now become that which they at one point despised. They may blame it on misunderstanding things, and there's a lot of truth to that. But a lot of it too is just frustration. Frustration, anxiety, fear. So go to Game of Thrones, Daenerys. There's a, you know, a hint to a predisposition, that Targaryen name. She was related to the Mad King. There was this predisposition that's been kind of laid out. And I think the hope was that she would avoid that instead of fall victim to it. But I don't think it had anything to do with the blood running through her veins. It had to do with the experiences from a very young child, even a baby. Not that she would necessarily remember stuff at the baby level, but probably earlier than a lot of us would lend credit to. And I mean that so much for storyline, real world. You know, assassins were sent out for her. She was always on the move. Over time, all these things, being enslaved, being sold, being abused, and then garnering resources and losing some of those resources, losing some of her dragons, losing friends, feeling betrayed or outright being betrayed, drove her to what we would say is madness. That new shop owner who used to despise the pay schemes, who used to despise this type of work or that type of work or this type of working condition or that type of working condition and lack of information, lack of equipment. Now they have the controls and having to deal with ungrateful employees, ungrateful clients, you know, employees like, okay, I got the best equipment, man. I wish I had this stuff. You guys are so lucky. And now they don't take care of it. And that is frustrating. But it's all these things, all these little things, if you will, and some not so little things add up over time. They just chip away. And next thing you know, it's like, you know, next time I'm not buying the nicest piece of equipment. I'm going to buy the next level down or a couple levels down because you jerks don't take care of nothing anyways. And then the pay, like, God, I tried to treat everyone so good. And man, you guys got so much better than I had it. And I can't get you to bust your tails for nothing. Are you kidding me? All right. New pay plan. You guys could make more money if you work harder. Here you go. And then one day do you wake up and look in the mirror and go, oh no, or it's justified. It isn't anything, but you weren't even driven to it. It makes sense now. And maybe you do a few things that you could feel categorically better than your former employers. Maybe not. Maybe it's they had it right. I get it now. I think you could learn a little bit by watching Daenerys' storyline in Game of Thrones. I will just say that the show, when it was good, like when it was hitting, man, it ranks up there with some of the very, very best TV shows of all time. And then I guess the show is based off of some books, right? Written by, is it George R.R. Martin? Yeah, you might be able to beat me up in the comments about that. I think that's who it is. Anyways, as they made the show and it became wildly popular, the show started to outpace the novels, so they didn't have the source material. I think he was somewhat involved with where it was going, but now the screenwriters are really writing the entire thing, and then time constraints. Like, they had to finish it up in two seasons, and they had too many loose ends to tie up. They had too many things going on, and I think you start rushing things and skipping over key details, or as speeding through storylines, forgetting to tie up certain loose ends. What do you do? I'm sure if they had it their way, they would have dragged it on as long as they could, or been able to wait for the author to finish those novels. And who's to say the novels would have been better? I don't know. That's an assumption, right? Ultimately, it's one of the better shows that have ever been on. Did they end it so wrong? I'm not sure they did. Was I hoping for a different scenario? Yeah. But the way it ended may not be as bad as it gets credit for. So yeah, if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, I would consider it. It's hard to watch it unspoiled, especially if you've just listened to the podcast, this episode, but also all the stuff online. It would be very difficult. And then, if you do, just watch the Daenerys storyline and see if you agree. Yeah, I look forward to the comments. If you're watching this on YouTube, please give it a like. Make some comments to the video down there, suggestions, maybe criticisms of the relations or the analogies. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Autel, Pico Technology. Thank you so much to the Aftermarket Radio Network. And if you have ideas for the show, fire them off in the comment section of YouTube. You can email me at mattfonzopodcast@gmail.com. You can also shoot me a message through Facebook Messenger. Until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z with Matt Fonslow on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Want Matt to cover a specific topic? Check the show notes for his email. Your input matters.